Okay, so today's Mishnah, Masechet Kelim, is Perek Yud Zayin, and we're up to Mishnah Dalet. Okay, so remember that the first Mishnah, which was called Klei Baalei Batim, were Berimonim. So the shir was Kemotzi Rimon. And that's because, generally speaking, a housekeeper is not going to throw something out just because it doesn't serve his initial purpose, at least according to the Tanakhama, it was a machlokas, whether it was whatever it's made for, candy dish would be the shear of candy. But we paskin that ultimately you won't throw it out unless you can't even keep a pomegranate in it. So what type of pomegranate are we talking about? In other words, how are we going to estimate the actual shear? And there's two things that we have to think about. One is the type of pomegranate. In other words, what is the typical size pomegranate? There's a lot of different species of pomegranates. And the other is the circumstances. Because, look, you could certainly have a kli in which you put a bunch of pomegranates in. It's the very fact that you have a lot of them that makes it impossible for one of them to fall out. Because when they're under pressure from the side by other pomegranates that are holding them, they're not going to just slip through a hole. So are we talking about the size of putting a single pomegranate through it? Or are we talking about the actual practicality of where we've got a bunch of fruit in there that it's really going to fall out? Says the Gemara, when we're talking about Rimonim, the Mishnah, Rimonim Shamru is talking about whether you have three pomegranates that are up against each other and they're pressuring each other, which means that if, only if, one of those would still fall through the hole, despite the fact that it's also under pressure, only then does it lose its tumah. We would say that at that point it becomes tar. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, that actually some things can become even with a small hole. Let's say a nafa kivaras, you've got a sifter or a larger holed sieve, and the, over there the shear would be kadeshi yitol v'yalech. If you put it in there and it's something, you put in these three pomegranates, if you walk around with it, the pressure of the walking, the movement that's generated by the walking over there is enough for it to be tar, which means that it's slightly smaller than that. So something that's made out of a solid container. So, okay, you try your best to keep it as long as you can. But when you're talking about an actual sifter, a sifter is moved. A sieve is used for moving about so that you can get the junk remaining, or the junk going through the holes and the good stuff remaining. If you're going to shake it up with the pomegranates, you're trying to get all the dirt that you took together with the basket of the pomegranates out and shaking it up while you move it, one of the pomegranates is going to fall out. Then even if it falls out because of the movement, it would also be tahor, because that's the way it's used. If you're talking about a basket, then the normal way that you would use the basket is you put it around your shoulder. But putting it around your shoulder itself shakes things up. So if you've got a kupa and it will fall out when you put it across your back or your shoulder, then it's already considered to be tahor. So it depends on the usage of the particular container. Vishar kola kelim. Now, things that are small, I mean, you wouldn't put a pomegranate in, it's not even big enough to put a pomegranate in, so what's the shear over there? So suppose you have kol kelim she'enu yicholim lekabel rimonim, because they're much smaller. Let's say you have a rova of a kav, or you have a chatzi rova, so it only would hold something the size of shalosh beitzim, or you've got those, remember those small sifters that looked like a tube that gets progressively smaller as you get to the edge to sift things like beans to make sure that something larger than the bean doesn't go through. So all of those things, the shear over there would be beruban. So if the hole covers most of the height of it, and then it's considered to be Torah according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon says, what do I care about the height? I mean, I don't have to fill the things up with beans. It's still going to work if on the bottom I could put a bean through it and so on. The shear over there is, as we said earlier, olives. Olives, if they can't hold olives, that means near the bottom, they wouldn't hold an olive, would fall out, then it would be tahar. But if nigmamu, if they were nigmam, which often happens, nigmam means they gradually unravel at the top, right? So if they were nigmamu, which Rabbi Meir is saying is a problem because they don't have the same height, why do they need the same height? as long as whatever they could hold, they could still hold something, and there's enough left of the height, so then shiuran b'mashein, whatever is left, it's fine. When we talked about a hole, the hole would have to go down to the bottom, not that it should just be somewhere along the side. Okay, now we have to talk about the other issue. What type of pomegranate? We can't just say a pomegranate. So what are we talking about? What size pomegranate? Well, the Rimon that we're talking about is not a small pomegranate. It's not a big pomegranate. It's a medium-sized pomegranate. Wait, didn't we have like a lot of sugyas where we talked about Rimonei Badan? Those Rimonei Badan, those were like very special pomegranates. Was that Nogay over here? Nah, no. And Lama Yuskeru Rimonei Badan, just to remind you, the reason we keep talking about Rimonei Badan, which was a location where they grew very large pomegranates, and that was like a big thing to get Rimonei Badan, they were very chashuv. That was Binogea, that if they fall into Heter, so then let's say they would be Kaloy, they would be somehow or other a Kelayim of a tree, or they would be Orla. So they would be Makachim Kol Shehin. They would answer, because remember that we have halacha that anything that's Choshev, the Rabbanan said, is not going to be Batal B'Shishim, or Batal, whatever the case is, B'Mataim, if we're talking about Orla, obviously. So any little bit of a Rimon Badan, but that has nothing to do with our issue. Do not confuse Bittal of Isser with the shear of Tuma V'Taira of a Kli. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that is not true. Rimonei Badan is actually the shear to measure Motzi Rimon. And it's the type of big Rimonim that a Rimonei Badan, not the biggest of the Rimonei Badan, but a medium-sized Rimonei Badan, which is much larger than a normal medium-sized Rimon. Rabbi Akiva says both. Why are you saying for this? It's not for this only. Rimonei Badan were used lekach ulekach. First of all, l'sher bevet hakelim, the way Rabbi Yochanan is saying, and furthermore, to make it clear that if you have something that is that chosh of Rimonei Badan, that they would be mekachin koshein, and they're not butel. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, neither. Forget about both, and forget about one. This is not the sugya of Rimonei Badan. You know, when we talked about Rimonei Badan, when we discussed Rimonei Badan in the context of those chatzirei geva, which are some type of lettuce or a leek, that was also very choshev, the idea over there was that if you buy them, you have to assume that they are definitely not meisud, and they're not considered to be a case of demai. That's what they mentioned. Sheyu mitasrin vaday b'chol makom. Normally, we would say that rov ame ha'aretz are ma'aser. It happens to be that these things, fruits or vegetables, were grown specifically by kutim. And since they're grown by kutim, we know that they weren't makbet on lifnei iver, and they couldn't care less about marketing things that are aser to eat. Anyway, that's one approach. There may be other issues about the question they wouldn't give meiser from something that's so chashev because it's too much of a loss. Okay, then we said that we're talking about mediums. Now there's a lot of shiurim, and once already we bring up the issue of the shiurim of rimonim. This perek Yud Zayin in Kelim goes through all of the various shiurim that are natural shiurim. Natural shiurim meaning that we use some type of natural product and we compare the size of a particular halacha to the shear of that product. And remember that, of course, that was the mokar of Eretz Chita V'Soran, Kol HaPasuk Hazeh Al Shem Shiurim Ne'emar. So based on that idea, the Mishnah wants to clarify, okay, talk about pomegranates. There's a lot of other things. How about eggs? You said eggs. What's an egg? So kibet sasha amru, when they say an egg, that doesn't mean a big egg or a tiny egg. It's a medium kind of egg. Well, how the heck do you decide what a medium kind of egg is? Well, says Rabbi Yehuda, look, you bring the biggest egg you can find, and you bring the smallest egg you can find, okay? Then you take a bowl, and you fill it completely up with water, and you put that bowl inside of a larger bowl. Now, put the big egg and the little egg into the large bowl. The water that is displaced by pressing the egg under the water will be the volume of big egg plus small egg. Divide that by two and you get the average. So take whatever came out and then split it into two, and that's a medium egg. Ha! Nice deal. So that's what you do. Notein l'toch hamayim, and then you split the water into two. Omer Reb Yossi. Oh, I love the precision. It's so impressive, Reb Yehuda. It's mamash a laboratory experiment, except for one minor problem. The minor problem being, what size sample of eggs did you select the biggest egg and the smallest egg? I mean, I'm assuming you went all around the world to find the biggest egg and all around the world to find the smallest egg. Or did you go to your makolet? I mean, come on, man. How do you know what the biggest egg? That doesn't make any sense at all. Tell me, who is the authority that has decided that your big egg is the big egg? That's ridiculous. So obviously, even Reb Yehuda, who is trying to make this sound scientific, it's not very scientific with a small sample. It's ridiculous. So therefore, it must be that a shear like this is not meant to have a precision definition, because there's no possible way for you to really, Mimo Dieni, who's going to tell you that this is precision? Therefore, the idea of these shiurim is by definition not well-defined. That's the point. And they are, like most of the dinim in the Torah, they are the way in which it is judged by the individual. Now, obviously, this is true about so many things. I mean, I love it the way people have got their 1/100th of a second stopwatches to tell you exactly when Netzach Hama is, you know, as if somebody in the world is able to know that this is the moment of Netzach Hama. I don't see any sun. I don't know from nothing. Again, all of these shiurim are whatever looks to you. Hakol lefi da'ato sheroeh. Does this look to you like a nice medium-sized egg? Fine. That's the shiur, okay? Stop making yourself crazy. How about the shear of a grogeret? Where is the grogeret? A grogeret is basically a dried fig, right? And it's very often found in the dinim of Shabbos, because the standard of hotzah on almost every type of foodstuff is the shear of a grogeret. There too, we're not talking about the biggest, we're not talking about the smallest, we're talking about the medium. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you should know that these are dried figs. The dried figs in Eretz Yisrael, and he holds that you have to use large grogrot, not medium grogrot, if you're in Eretz Yisrael. Because basically, in Turkey, the medium dried fig is the size of the large dried fig in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael, you have to go for the big dried fig in order to be sure.